Now, neither CCD nor Varroa have been deported in Australia. And now I learned it also in Hawaii. And is that an indication that an interplay of IAPV and Varroa is required for the development of CCD? Now, let me elaborate a little bit about that, and this is still a thinking. History of IAPV is only priming the B for CCD. Then other. History of IAPV is only priming the B for CCD. And again, remember, this is my thinking. Is only priming the Bs for CCD. Some other conditions may come on top of IAPV to make the appearance of the CCD syndrome. And these other agents are well distributed in the B world. So when Diana and Ian Lipkin were doing their survey, it was not differential. Varroa wouldn't be differential. Varroa is in CCD and in non-CCD places. But IAPV would be differential. And it doesn't mean that the B that they checked out was diseased with IAPV. It could be that her ancestor someplace has been affected with IAPV. It got the IAPV into its genome. It has been expressed as an RNA. And what they found out is transcripts that carry IAPV sequences. Yes or no? We'll find out next year, another year. Since IAPV is not the direct, because again, I'm talking for myself. Since IAPV is not the direct cause of CCD, but a prerequisite for CCD development, many environmental factors, such as other parasites or chemicals, may affect CCD. CCD development from IAPV primed bees, which is the key words, IAPV prime bees to develop CCD. Not they won't necessarily develop it, but they are primed to develop it. I'm reaching the end. A few months ago, a company has been established in Florida by the name of Biologist. I think it's a very nice name. And they've approached me, and the investors are a Florida person and an Israeli investor. And they approached me to lead the science in the company, and I cannot elaborate much on that, but I think we are on the way to find a very promising and very practical a way to control IAPV. And with that, I would like to thank you on the background of my beautiful campus.
We have a question, quick question, I will write. Yes.
In Israel, the conditions that you've seen here about economic and environmental pressure, do you see that in Israel?
I don't know. As I told you, I'm not a bee person. I was approached by the extension people in Israel to do the research on this mortality of bees, and I came across IAPV. I'm not the person to ask that. What I can tell you is that I'm being told that CCD is appearing in Israel at a speedy rate. And one more thing about, you talked before about Europe. I got samples from Spain, I think 20 bee samples. One of them was diagnosed positive for IAPV.
So let's talk about sex this morning. We're gonna talk about sex determination in the housefly. So why do we care about houseflies? One is that they carry over 100 devastating diseases of human and animal health. Listed are some here, and it's recently been shown to carry this strain of E. coli, which actually has caused a death in Japan, and has been shown to be carried by houseflies in the U.S. Luckily, no deaths have occurred yet here. And also, agricultural losses are in excess of $200 million. So just some background, housefly genetics. They have five pairs of autosomes numbered 1 through 5. One pair of sex chromosomes, XY, which is what we're all used to. Humans are the same way. And males carry this M gene, so the male-determining gene, the M factor, is on the Y chromosome normally. And then females are XX. But houseflies have a big but. So there's sex determination also that's autosomal. So that means that any of the five autosomes can carry this M factor. There's also possibilities that the M factor can be carried on multiple chromosomes. So you end up with males and females that are XX. So sex determination, usually the males are the heterogametic sex.
This work was directed by two main hypotheses. The first is the double repressor hypothesis of Amdahl and Olmholtz. And two hormones figure prominently in this hypothesis. I have simplified very generalized traces of both of these hormones, juvenile hormone in orange and vitellogenin in green. Juvenile hormone is a systematic hormone that's very important during development as well as in adult life in the regulation of behavior and life history. Vitellogenin is a yolk precursor protein that's been shown to have various functions in the worker honeybees, from potential function as an antioxidant to possible hormone regulation of behavior and development. In the double repressor hypothesis, vitellogenin acts as an internal repressor on the release of foraging behavior through inhibition of the latter regulatory central nervous system, the site of juvenile hormone synthesis. So early in life, vitellogenin titers are high, and as they begin to fall at the onset of foraging, that inhibition is released, juvenile hormone synthesis can kick up, and the resulting high juvenile hormone titers result in even lower titers of vitellogenin, and this feedback loop ensures the release of foraging behavior. At the onset of foraging, worker bees tend to specialize in either pollen or nectar collection. The reproductive ground plan hypothesis of Page and Amdahl posits that a reproductive regulatory network that includes this hormonal signaling is the mechanism that underlies worker division of labor, especially as it directs the bees into pollen versus nectar foraging through sensory tuning. This hypothesis is based on the reproductive cycle of a solitary insect, such as the simplified mosquito ovarian cycle. Here, pollen foragers represent the reproductive phenotype. They have larger, they tend to have larger, more vitellogenic ovaries, and then enhanced sensory tuning. Nectar foragers, on the other hand, represent the non-reproductive phenotype. Much of the work that went into the formation of this hypothesis came from two strains of bees that were disruptively selected for colony levels of pollen hoarding by Page and Fondrick. Bees of the high strain have huge colony stores of pollen. They also tend to have large activated ovaries. They have high titers of vitellogenin at emergence and post-emergence. They also have an earlier onset of foraging, and we've hypothesized that they have enhanced insulin signaling. Bees of the low strain tend to have the opposite traits, and like the nectar workers, represent the non-reproductive phenotype. We know that insulin signaling is very important in the regulation of life history of solitary insects, and the presence of components of the insulin signaling pathway in quantitative trait loci generated from the high and low strain bees suggests that the insulin signaling cascade could also be very important in the regulation of honeybee worker life history. We've been able to demonstrate a link between vitellogenin and behavior in life history through use of RNA interference. By injecting newly emerged bees with double-stranded RNA for vitellogenin into their abdomen, we've been able to efficiently knock down levels of vitellogenin expression. In the wild-type bees, we see that vitellogenin knockdown results in increased titers of juvenile hormone, an earlier onset of foraging, and an increased preference for nectar collection, as well as a decreased lifespan. We've also been able to demonstrate a differential response to vitellogenin knockdown in the high and low strain bees. When we looked at our three treatment groups, here we have vitellogenin knockdown in red, an injected control group in gray, and a non-injected reference group in black. Our expectations were confirmed. We predicted based on results by Amdahl and colleagues that found that high-strain bees respond to vitellogenin knockdown with an increase in juvenile hormone titer, but that low-strain bees don't respond. So we predicted we would see behavioral effects in the high strain, but not in the low strain. In the first panel, our results for the age of onset of foraging in the low strain bees show no effective treatment. However, in the high strain bees, we did see that patellogenin knockdowns forage significantly earlier than injected controls. Again, our expectations were confirmed when we looked at foraging preference, here measured in nectar load weight in grams. In the low strain bees in the first panel, we see no effective treatment. However, in the high strain bees, we see that patellogenin knockdowns collect significantly heavier nectar loads than did injected control bees. An interesting and unexpected result came when we looked at lifespan data. In our low strain bees, we actually see that patellogenin knockdowns are long-lived relative to injected control bees. In the high strain bees, we don't see any effective treatment. And this is really interesting not only because our effect was in the low strain bees, which up until this point we've only seen an effect of VG knockdown on patellogenin expression itself, but also because the result was in the opposite direction of what we saw in wild-type bees. We found these really unexpected results, and our next step was to investigate the mechanisms that might underlie this. And because we know that insulin signaling is related to both lifespan and reproduction in some solitary insects, this seemed like a good way to go since it fits so well into the context of the reproductive ground plan hypothesis. Coupled with the presence of several components of this pathway in QTLs developed from the QTL regions developed from the high and low strains, made this connection really an interesting target. So our next step was to investigate the connection between patellogenin and insulin signaling in the high and low strain bees. To do this, we injected newly emerged bees with double-stranded RNA for patellogenin or nuclease-free water. We placed our treatment bees in one half of a cage like this one and divided them by a mesh screen from a group of nurse bees to provide a semblance of a social environment while we aged them in an incubator before collection and analysis. Our first step was to measure the effectiveness of our knockdown. We did this by using RNA or reverse transcriptase real-time PCR. We see, as expected, that high-strain control bees will be in the solid panels and VG knockdowns in